Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. You may be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Engage to Learn. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday today. Now, before we jump into the episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today. It'll take you to all of the resources I mention. This episode is sponsored by Engage to Learn, a leading provider of education intelligence through smart professional learning, job-embedded coaching, and related technology solutions since 2011. They're on a mission to scale smart professional learning systems to optimize outcomes in public education. To learn more about Engage to Learn, visit engagetolearn.org. That's Engage to Learn with a number 2. Today's episode is titled, How Individualized Coaching Can Elevate Teachers. And today I chat with Shannon Burke, founder and CEO of Engage to Learn. Shannon has a new book titled, Connect the Dots, Utilize Education Intelligence to Accelerate Growth, Retain Talent, and Optimize Outcomes, which you'll hear me talk about in today's episode. Shannon unpacks the idea of competency-based learning and how we can leverage technology to make professional learning the most effective it can be. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so excited to chat with you. And before we jump into all things professional learning, talking about individualized coaching and some of our hot topics for today, would love to hear about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Thanks for having me, Monica. My name is Shannon K. Burke, and I am the founder and CEO of Engage to Learn. I started teaching when I was 22, so I've been in education for 31 years, and about 11 years ago now, I founded Engage to Learn. So my day-to-day now is essentially working with, it's meetings back-to-back, it's Zoom meetings all day long, or it is on the road. I was this week actually on the road facilitating like a superintendent think tank, and so I still do some of that type of work, and then I work with my team a lot, and our partner districts, presentations, and podcasts.
Yeah. Well, a nice combination, right, of ways to connect with educators and support educators. And today we're talking about that topic, right, of elevating teachers and helping them support their students. And, you know, for all of that, we know that PD can vary in how effective it truly is. So what are some of the pain points with the way professional development traditionally takes place?
Well, there are a lot of pain points. I would say that I think most people think of it in this way, that PD is often a burden today, and maybe a couple stories would help to identify the pain points and people would identify with. Like, for example, the other day, this really just really broke my heart in a way. I was talking to a friend who was telling me about how his dad had been a special education teacher for 30 years. That is a very challenging role to play and super impactful in students' lives. And that he was telling his son, who was telling me, that he had never been in a professional development session that was of benefit to him in 30 years. And so in his last year, he was retiring. In his last year, he said, I'm actually just not going to go. I'm finally going to quit wasting my time. Mm-hmm. And it just was like, oh. And the reason is, if you think of all the different, of course, all the different needs, years of experience, things that people are doing in their day-to-day as teachers, they absolutely need differentiated support instead of one size fits all. And so training for sitting in the same room with all these other folks and listening to a lecture all day long that is not relevant is a huge pain point. But it's the same, you know, people say, well, oh, say asynchronous or online. It's like, well, if it's still one size fits all, it's still the same pain point. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of time if it does not apply to me as a teacher in my specific situation. So I think the biggest pain point is a waste of time in terms of being relevant. The second one, similarly, but it's like, you know, it's not based on teachers' goals for themselves. Mm-hmm. So because it's, I would say, you know, more topic-based, top-down, here are the initiatives we have, here's the things you need to comply with. It takes away kind of the agency. And teachers know their craft and they know what they need to work on. They know, you know, like we heard recently from a 14-year vet, like, this is the first time I feel like I'm not being, you know, subjected to the same thing as first-year teachers. And I have my own mm-hmm. goals. You know, I'm able to work on my own craft in the way that I know I need to. So I think that's the second piece. I think, you know, the third piece is that it really doesn't grow anyone. And that's really unfortunate because, you know, there are a lot of folks that need support and need to grow. And I'm reminded, you know, with that pain point of like an alternative certified teacher that we worked with a couple of years ago that had been moved 3 times in 3 years because it's called the dance of the lemons in education. When someone's not performing, you know, they get transferred. But when in 1 year with individualized coaching, this alt cert teacher who was very enthusiastic about, you know, being a good teacher became a really good teacher and even was getting praise from peers and being asked, like, what are you doing? Because the student mm-hmm. scores were going up. So it's like, you know, it's one, it's a waste of time. Two, it's not differentiated. And three, it doesn't actually get any results. And the research backs up everything I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The research is very clear. Those were anecdotal stories, but the research is very clear that that's true. You know, teachers over 7 years of experience don't grow anymore. It doesn't produce results. Training doesn't transfer to the classroom. You know, all those things are in the research as well.
Yeah. And I'm confident that listeners today, right, have had their own, right, own stories that they could go along with, right, or share that fall into one, two, or three of those categories, depending on, right, what their role is, what their individual goals are, their years of service, right? So I think it's something that we can all relate to in the space when we've had experiences that are just not meeting our needs, right, as professionals. So, you know, I am excited to jump into this idea of using digital tools and online learning platforms to change the way we think about professional development. What is the role of technology in really supporting teacher growth?
Well, that's a great question. And I love discussing this as well. I'll start with the opposite, which is what is it not? Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, in some ways, the way that we're thinking about how technology or seeing how technology can transform professional learning is the same way that we've seen it happen in learning. So early on, you know, when we brought technology to the classroom, it was like everyone gets a very heavy notebook, right? It basically, we transferred the same practices we'd been doing to some online version, like online worksheets and, you know, that kind of thing, versus really using the power of technology like we are today with students, you know, with like adaptive software and those kind of things. So the first thing I would say is let's just leapfrog that, because if we say, oh, let's make it digital and online, people can, you know, attend a Zoom or they can take an asynchronous course or an online course. That is not, it's still linear. It's still one size fits all. It's still not aligned to teacher's goals. It's still not relevant, et cetera. So if we can leapfrog that, it would be great and use the technology that can really make a difference. And so again, the things that it can do, if it is adaptive software, adaptive professional learning software, is it can be individualized, relevant, it can respond to teachers' needs, it can create those equitable systems of support. So I think one is it provides the differentiated support to everyone because you can use it like Lego pieces, you can chunk it, you can create this adaptive, you know, automated or even AI-informed software that really, you know, responds in an app-like way to what people need. Two, you can collect data that actually, you know, to provide formative feedback. We all really crave, like right now, of course, the big deal is the biofeedback, right? Like we all mm-hmm. want to see.
Yeah.
And so the same thing can apply to professional learning is, you know, what about the formative feedback that I can use for myself to know how I'm growing in competencies? You know, how am I improving? And then I can use that to make progress versus, again, this, you know, idea of like, oh, check the box. I attended that thing. No, it's about I'm in charge of my own professional learning. I'm getting adaptive resources that are, you know, made available to me. And then I can see the progress because we're collecting data, which I think is super important. And then, I mean, another thing, of course, is that technology gives us the opportunity to create community. Mm-hmm. And educators learn from each other a lot. And, you know, they if they are, can be connected in ways that are meaningful and timely, and, you know, versus just like, you're in this PLC, it's like, you know, have access to folks virtually and in other ways, you get, you know, all of those, that variety of resources that you choose. So I think that those are really the three ways that I feel like right now it, you know, and then with all of that, it can scale. So right now, you know, support is limited to how many people can coach, how many people, you know, that kind of thing. Versus if you're using the technology, you can actually scale and create more equitable systems of support for teachers and other educators.
I love those examples that you gave too, because I think that anyone who has been coached or is in a coaching role or is experienced professional learning knows how important it is for that experience to be personalized, right? Or relevant for them, and have seen the power. If you've been in a great educator community, you know how powerful it is. And that feedback example you gave, you know, though I think sometimes it can be hard to say like, what kind of data, you know, what, how am I going to use this data? But that, you know, did I reach my 10,000 steps? Like that's data we use, right? Like, so I think all of those pieces, I just love that biofeedback connection, because it is something where, you know, if you are used to looking at the numbers, right? Or waiting to see, you know, have you hit these marks or reach these goals, right? It is really an actionable, it can be a really actionable set of information. And, you know, that brings us into, you know, thinking about different types of experiences educators might have. And I'd love to unpack this idea of competency-based adaptive coaching, which we've kind of mentioned already, but I want to make sure we have an opportunity to think about a little bit more deeply. What does it look like in action, this competency-based adaptive coaching?
Great question. And this is probably my favorite topic. So thanks for asking. My hope is that this becomes a movement. If we could, I feel like if we could really transform, you know, PD into this like adaptive competency-based coaching and professional learning, because it, you know, you don't always have to have a coach, you know, working with you necessarily. There's other ways to use competency-based professional learning that I can really just take, you know, on that onus myself as a professional. You know, I think the thing is we have to get out from under, again, kind of compliance-based system that we've had and focus on what can happen here, almost modeling it a little bit more like business, like, you know, elevating teachers as the talent, the professionals. And then essentially, you know, what happens is, and there's a, you know, I can give you one way to do this. I think there are multiple ways, but if we think about it from a competency-based standpoint, you know, the idea is that you take all the professional learning and instead of topic of the year, theme of the year, flavor of the month for training and professional development, it is these competencies that we know are, you know, aligned to research, are going to get the outcomes that we want. And then you build those out. Like here are the competencies, you build those out. And if you build them out, we believe in our data shows that if you build them out into four levels, so let's take a competency, which everybody would agree with, formative assessment and feedback, right? This is, we know this is a best practice. What does that look like when you're first trying it and starting it? What does that look like as you grow in that particular practice and get deeper in it? What does it look like when you're like, you know, the top of your game in that practice, right? And so we believe in our data shows that like a four-level competency-based, basically rubric, right, mm-hmm. around each of those with the strands, all positive language, very specific, tangible behaviors that show what those levels are like is the place to start. Then when you have that, you have that clarity, and you align everything to that. No professional learning unless it aligns with the competencies. Then teachers or other educators can set goals, choose which competencies they want to work on, which are relevant to them, and then be able to look at those four levels and say, you know what, I feel like currently I'm like at a level one or two here, but I really want to be at a level three or four. So they can set goals, assess their current reality. And then you take all of the resources, essentially, all the professional learning resources, everything, and align those to those levels. And then if you have a coach, you can, you know, ideate, you know, like what are those options and kind of serve up like an individualized playlist. Okay, you're at level one, you want to be at level three. Here are the steps you can take to apply in your practice and, you know, bring back this evidence of that application in your practice. And let's talk about it next time and see where do you feel like you are now? Did you get to level three or all the way to level four? Or, you know, where is that evidence showing? So So that's the idea of moving along. And then, of course, getting recognized for making that progress and getting badged on the progress in those competencies. So that's the idea. And then that adaptive piece is, you know, again, flexing with the choices and decisions and self-assessments and evidence that teachers and other educators are bringing to the table.
And it's such a great way to think about what professional learning can look like. It's not necessarily everyone's doing something very different. That's, you know, everyone's doing something that's going towards that same common mission, right? Those big things that you are working on, that you're committed to as a school and a district. It's just their pathways are just right for them, right? For what they need in order to grow. And, you know, just as you said, we can all do the same thing, right? Sit in the same place, but it doesn't mean it's going to stick. Like, this is what has to happen to make it stick. So I love that the framing that you shared there to just, you know, really demonstrate and show that this is something we're all doing together, even if it is our different pathways, right? For that professional learning. I think sometimes when people hear about, you know, everyone doing something that's different, right? They get a little concerned about what that's going to look like in action, right? The logistics of those pieces. So, you know, I love that idea. And well, I think we'll talk more about the logistics, right, of putting things into practice, right, as we keep diving into this topic. But, you know, I often share here on the podcast, it's definitely been a big theme this year, this calendar year, and I think it will be this school year too, time-saving tips. And when we think about professional learning, it can often feel like it's something else, or it's another thing on our plate. So how can an individualized professional learning approach, you know, address issues like teacher retention challenges and prevent teacher burnout?
Well, I love your podcast for that reason, because I think that's the number one. I often say, like, you know, if we could just stop doing some things in education, we'd all be a lot better off. Like, it's not about adding things on. It's literally about strategically abandoning some things because people just don't have enough time. So this is a trade-off. Like, I would say stop training, stop doing workshops and all those things. And like, all the professional learning becomes this model, you know, ideally, but like you say, it's creativity within constraints. There's structure to it. You're making progress over time. It's not a free-for-all and it's not chaotic, but it is individualized. So the way that it saves teachers time is that, you know, it's usually that burden and now it becomes a benefit, because essentially, if you look at the research or you talk to anybody, teachers spend about 7 hours a week searching for stuff, right? Searching for things online, searching for what the strategies, searching for those relevant pieces of that they know they need in their craft. Mm-hmm. And this really takes what we've seen in our data, and we've connected that, by the way, connected it to teacher retention and to student results. And you see that, I mean, the outcomes are just amazing, including teacher retention, which is near 100% when teachers are getting this type of support. But what we see is that it takes 7 45-minute sessions in a year to be able to do this process. So basically you're trading 7 hours a week for 7 hours a year, which obviously is saving you a lot of time, because this is a served up playlist of proven resources and strategies that are aligned exactly to your current goals versus searching for them, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the big difference. And then, you know, in terms of burnout and stress, when you don't have time and then your time is wasted, that is very, very stressful. Mm-hmm. So taking away the wasted time. And then also, most teachers, the reason they get stressed out is when they feel like they're not able to meet their students' needs. They're not getting the outcomes that they care about. They care about kids. And right now, I think that's a big stressor. We've seen that teacher saying that. So having resources and support that allows them to meet the goals they have for themselves and their learners helps them to stay rejuvenated. I love hearing from the folks that, like, our coaches are working with that are saying, like, thank you for the support. Like, I need, it's like my coaching therapy, you know, or something. Like, I need that one-on-one support. And then the recognition that comes from working on your craft and being recognized and valued for that, and evidence-based recognition that comes from it, I think is the other thing that helps to lift, you know, lift teachers up, uplift them and help them feel like, okay, what I'm doing is recognized and valued, making progress, versus I'm constantly being told I need to do this thing. I need to do this thing. You know, having agency helps to people to be satisfied in their work.
Yeah. And it's something that I think as a, you know, classroom teacher, just, you know, that the moments when you're giving students agency around their learning, right, are the times when there's just so much, students are shining, right? They're excited, they're passionate, they're taking ownership of these pieces. And I think that, you know, we can all say that as adult learners, right, the things that, you know, we really can't stop talking about or want to tell other people about are the ones that, you know, we weren't told to do, right, but that we had that agency around. I'm sure many listeners have had the, I heard it on a podcast and now I'm telling five people, right, type of experiences, yeah. Or I read this great article, right? So it's just, there's that different level of energy around it. And so, you know, if someone is listening today and is totally on board with a more personalized approach to professional learning, what can they do to make it a reality in their school or district?
Well, there's a few things. You kind of mentioned one of them. So this is just a, you know, if you want student agency, you provide agency for adults. If you want equity for students, you provide equitable support for adults. So for one thing, just, you know, think about it like that. Very practically speaking, of course, they can call or email us or go to our website, because we have, you know, obviously a full range. This is our focus 100%. We have a full range of options from, you know, our online platform, My Smart Coach, to on the ground coaching, Coaches Academy, where we can work with coaches in a district to show them how to do this. We have a great team of educators and we have a collaborative network, you know, all those pieces. So we have differentiated options for folks depending on what they're, you know, what they're looking for. And of course they can get the book, yeah. Read the book, because the book really basically, you know, educators are DIYers and that's what the book's like. Here's how to do this. Go do it. If you want to do it yourself, go for it.
Yeah. And we're going to link out to all the things for everyone to find, but tell us more about the book. Tell us more about Connect the Dots.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to have this on the ground and the reception has been amazing, which is great. I am so appreciative that it became the number one new release on Amazon in the first week, which was fabulous and fun, because I do believe this is the answer to, you know, a lot of what's been ailing us in education is to transform this professional learning piece and connect the dots. And the idea of the book is basically, you know, we keep adding to teachers' plates, like you're, I mean, the reason for your whole podcast, Monica, we keep spinning in circles because I feel like we are only looking at one side of the data equation. We keep looking at student data, student outcomes data. And now there's reports out, Harvard Business Review, Hessinger Report, that are all saying we're actually not getting anything out of that. So that's another wasted time, right? It's like all the time we're spending in PLCs analyzing student data. The reason is because when we finish analyzing the student data, we know where the gaps are. Okay. We still don't know what to do to close the gap. Mm-hmm. We still don't know what to do differently or more of or anything. So the idea of the book is let's put the educators back in the equation. I don't want, you know, the technology tool or the curriculum to get the credit when it works and then the educators to get the blame when it doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. So let's connect the educator growth directly to the outcomes. And if you use the competency-based approach and it shows you in the book, it tells you exactly how to do it, then you can connect the growth that comes from that, the data that comes from that directly to the outcomes and be able to have this formative way to see that connection and make adjustments over time. So that's the connect the dots part.
Well, I can't wait for listeners to check out the book, but I want to make sure they know, and of course, all the links will be where everyone's listening today, but where can people connect with you and explore Engage to Learn? Where can they learn more about your work?
Okay, awesome. Well, I would love to have a conversation with anybody on, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter. I'm on both of those platforms. And so I know you're sharing that info with folks, and that's great. We do have a website for the book, so the connectthedotsbook.org. And on there also, you know, when I'm speaking at places, that'll show up. But yeah, I'd love to, anybody reach out, and anybody that's trying to work on this in your district already, which I know some folks are, I'd love to, you know, support that or just have a dialogue about it. So that would be fabulous.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me and for what you're doing to help save teachers time. It's great.
It was wonderful chatting with Shannon today about how we can individualize coaching and what it looks like to really elevate teachers, as well as her new book. I want to finish up today with a few key points from the episode. Take stock of what professional learning looks like now. Decide on the competencies or focus areas for your school or district. Examine ways to personalize professional learning and use an online platform to individualize the experience. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including where to find Shannon's book, Connect the Dots, at classtechtips.com/podcast. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Engage to Learn. educators deserve equitable systems of support, and that starts with competency-based, job-embedded coaching. Check out their website, engagetolearn.org, to learn more about smart professional learning and sign up for a free consultation. Don't forget to get your copy of Connect the Dots today at connectthedotsbook.org or on Amazon. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. Podcasts are totally free. And when you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for another new episode of the Easy EdTech podcast.